the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
We thank you for listening today. And again, we say this quite often, but we feel like this is a special edition of Exploring the Word. Anytime you get into the Word of God, it's special, especially when you have the Bible in your heart language where you can read it and study it. This is Bert Harper. And where is Alex McFarland? Well, he's probably somewhere in the air over America, headed to Iowa. He's had a busy weekend. He started in Tupelo and spoke, and then he had to go to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, to be there for his meeting that he had with Dr. Gary Chapman. He was going to fly, but he had to drive all the way. And then this morning, he had to head to Iowa. So pray for Alex as he travels and does all these things that really are making a difference in people's lives. So our co-host today is someone that was on with us Friday because we're having some follow-up with what is taking place in Israel. And our co-host, Fred Jackson. Fred, thank you for being with us.
Honored to be with you, Bert. Busy times, and what a great program to be looking at God's Word and where we are with Israel at this very moment.
And speaking of Israel, we have a friend that's been with us on Exploring the Word, but also on the other program that I do, Exploring Missions, and it's Sergey Brozov. And Sergey usually is in New York City serving the Lord there with Chosen People, a great ministry. If you don't know anything about it, go to chosenpeople.com. Learn about what God is doing with that ministry all over the world. But Sergey, as I understand, you're not in New York City, Sergey. You're in Israel. Is that right?
Hey, bro. Yes. I'm already almost a month here.
Okay. Well, I am so thankful you could reach out to us. We know that Brent keeps up with you, and we appreciate that so much. And are you safe, brother? I'm sure you're safe or you wouldn't be with us.
Yes, I'm pretty safe. My wife and I, we traveled all the way south to Ashkelon, which is interesting because usually this is a city that under attack most of the time. But right now we are far away from Iran, and we are farther away from the central towns. So we have a shelter here. We are pretty safe for now.
Well, we're going to go through what I call the W questions, and Fred's going to interact with us, but I do want to know, you've already answered the first one, where you are, and again, this was kind of ground zero on October the 7th, a few years ago, and when Gaza there came across the line to southern Israel, but now it is, like you say, more north and central. But what were you doing there, Sergey? Were you ministering with Chosen People or visiting family? Or both? Sometimes you can do both, you know?
Yeah, kind of both in a sense. Visiting family for a couple of weeks, you know, seeing how they're doing here. All my family here live here with my six siblings. So it's pretty fun to see them all the time. But also my wife and I and some friends from the States, they came to visit us earlier, about a week ago, and we were exploring the Bible in person. So we were traveling in places where our Messiah walked, where Jesus walked. We were traveling in Jerusalem, seeing all of those places that we read about all the time. And that's what was happening so far.
Okay. Now, I think you've answered this question, but let's go over it again. You've been there about a month now?
Yes, we came with a group, we Chosen People, on May 22nd. We brought a group of young professionals to visit for the first time Israel. And we spent 10 days together traveling through different places, looking at things that are written in the Bible, but also where they happened. And then the group left. My wife and I, Jesse, we stayed for another week, and then my friends join us. So it's been about a month so far.
Okay, let me go with one more of these questions, and then we'll talk about what has happened. And I've asked Fred to come on and give us updates of what we know is going on. And we're interested. Why would we do this on Exploring the Word? Because, listen, the Word of God makes it plain that Israel is a very special place, not only the people, but the place as well. But are you, right now, if you wanted to fly out, would that be hindered? Have they got a no coming in, no flying out in Israel right now? Is it stopped?
Yes. Yeah, so Israel closed their airports from Friday, from when the whole preemptive strike started in Iran. And then the airport is still closed. I think they're talking about starting some rescue missions of Israelis to bring them back, but there's no conversation about coming out of the country. It's a little dangerous right now.
Okay.
So far till June 23rd.
Okay. When I hear that, Fred, I think of the tour groups that like Sergey was just talking about. They may be stuck over there. Have you heard any reports of those tour groups being kept there in Israel? Did most of them get out, or do you know?
No, the only thing I've heard about is possible tour groups that were planning to go in the next coming weeks. And, of course, everything, as Sergey has mentioned, the airport is shut down. American Airlines, LL, they're not flying in there right now for obvious reasons. Bert, I was going to ask Sergey, Fred here, you've obviously been there for a few weeks, and when this all started last Friday. What sense are you getting from the people that you talk to with regards to how they're feeling about this? We know we've heard from Prime Minister Netanyahu, but when you talk to folks, whether it's your relatives or the people you come in contact with, how are they feeling about this? I know they must be nervous because the Iranians are attacking, but how do they feel about Israel taking the initiative right now to Iran?
I think about, if we talk about how people feel, we talk about the last 2 years almost of the whole war and how people are tired from this. People are tired that we still have hostages in Gaza. You know, Iran became a big picture, but we do still have fighting in the Gaza Strip, and we're trying to save our people from there. So I feel like people are tired, but the initiative with Iran brought kind of like hope for the future that soon it's all going to be behind us. As, okay, we have a chance to kind of like cut off the head of the snake, and maybe that's an opportunity for a peace in the future.
You know, there was an old commercial, and this is before your time, Sergey, in America, but Fred will remember it. And it was a commercial about auto parts and you know, keeping your car up to date, pay me now or pay me later. And when I heard what your prime minister said concerning where Iran was in their nuclear plans, where they were planning to be in the missiles, having them ready at any time, it was now there's a price to pay. But Sergey, I think you said it with cutting the snake off. It sounded like this was the time Israel better do something about it, or there'd be a higher price to pay. Is that the sense I'm getting?
Yes, the first couple of days for sure. And even now, we're sure that this whole preemptive strike started because Iran was ready to produce about 15 nuclear weapons. And from the last conversation of what Benjamin Netanyahu said, he said that they wanted to pass them to the Houthis, who are a terrorist organization. And some of these nuclear weapons would be put on ballistic missiles to fly to United States. So that's a conversation that also Benjamin Netanyahu mentioned recently. So I guess we're starting to fight a war to not let Iran have such power.
Sergey, how do the people feel about the United States? Do they feel it's really important, and are they getting the sense that President Trump of the United States is fully backing this present war with Iran?
Look, I can't speak for everyone else, but I know that Israelis are grateful for the presence of the US military in the region. We know that there is reports of the US military intercepting missiles and Britain military and France military as well helping. But to have a big brother here, kind of like standing shoulder to shoulder with us, we're grateful for that for sure. It's a little blessing for all of us here.
Well, when I hear this, Sergey, and I know this, your family, the Israeli, defense force, or is your family involved in any of the operations that's going to Iran? Or are they still there in the southern region? Or have I know you, I think you had a sister and a brother all involved in that. Am I right?
Yeah, so no, they're not involved in going to Iran, and because right now the only people who is doing that is the Air Force, and I think the joke in the last 24 hours was that if you want to visit another country, right now it's only flights to Iran with the Israeli Air Force. So, but yeah, they're not. They're doing different things.
Yeah. And so what we have for you there and chosen people, I know when it was taking place there in southern Israel and you guys were giving gloves and different things away to those soldiers that are there, is chosen people, are they still involved in ministry there in Israel?
So it's actually really interesting. We just talked about groups and groups that visiting Israel. We were supposed to have a dedication of our center, of our new center in Tel Aviv today. It was supposed to happen yesterday in the evening, actually. And everything was ready, as far as even a group of 60 people came from the United States, major donors and friends of the ministry came to travel here, and they got stuck here when the war started on Friday. And today in the morning, they crossed the border into Jordan to fly back to the United States. So we had a group of 60 people here with Chosen People Ministry who came to the dedication. And Israel ministers who work here in the land in Israel already, I had some conversations with them. We're starting to help families in need, especially in places that were impacted by the rockets the last 48 hours. And I talked to one of my close friends, and we'll see tomorrow. We'll be able to deliver some packages to families.
One more thing before we go to the break, and if you don't mind, you have time to stay over for the second part. One or two more things that we would love to cover. But was the building that you guys were going to dedicate, has it been hit by any of the missile rockets coming in?
No, our building was not hit. But the area, the general area where our building stands, actually two rockets fell, one a little bit north and one a little bit south, and our building is in between. And our building was not touched.
Well, praise the Lord. We're talking to Sergey Brozov. He's with Chosen People. He's ministering out of New York City with Chosen People to the population there. But he was in Israel with a group going and training. And there he is, and we're talking with him. I know his wife is there. We're going to ask about her, but we appreciate Sergey, you being with us. And we're going to be gone for about 3 minutes, and we'll come right back. So we want those of you that are listening, keep on praying for Israel, praying for Sergey, pray for Chosen People Ministry, that they would make a difference in people's lives for the Messiah, Jesus. Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Bert Harper, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard that sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ.
Last year, Preborn Network clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work.
Yes, he did. This is what God is doing. He is still moving in our lives today. I hope he's moving in your life and showing you all the great things he has done. This is Bert Harper along with Fred Jackson. Alex is traveling to Iowa for one of his youth camps, and we appreciate Fred sitting in with us. And Sergey, we got about two more questions before we ask to let you go, if you don't mind. One of them is, I know you mentioned Jessie, your wife. I just want to say there's a connection in her family and myself here in Northeast Mississippi. And I know you said it, Jessie's kind of stressed. This has to be something for her. You grew up with some of this, at least at 6 years old when you got to Israel, knowing these attacks. But for someone like that that's never had to go through this, it's got to be difficult for her. We need to pray for her, I know. But tell us about how it is for someone that's never had to experience all this. How does it work in their life? It has to be difficult, doesn't it?
I think the biggest difficulty was to marry me. So
if she can do that, if she can do that, she's got it made. Go ahead, brother. Love you, brother.
Yeah, she finished that, you know. But yeah, she's doing great. She's doing amazing. She's supporting me, supporting everybody else, you know, not really stressful. Maybe just a little because it's not a comfortable situation for all of us. But she's handling it really well. And she was prepared that it's a country that you're going and anything can happen. It surprises every day. So since we got married, we were talking about this the whole time. And I'm really grateful for her family as well. They're a big support. We call them, we talk to them, they pray for us. And I just want to assure them that soon we'll be back home by God's grace.
Amen. I just want to say a word about her family. I know many of them, and I'm telling you, she has a great legacy and heritage that's behind her, and we appreciate that. But Fred, you came up with that, and I'm glad you thought of this question because you know, good news men ask good questions. So go ahead, brother.
Sergey, I was just reading on your profile that you're serving with the New York branch of Chosen People Ministries and reaching out to the young adult community, college students in New York University and other colleges and universities there. I'm really curious as to, in the wake of October 7th, 2023, were you surprised by the level of anti-Semitism that we have seen on those campuses? I mean, I knew anti-Semitism existed, but I didn't know to the extent that we have seen and continues today. Talk to us a little bit about that. Why do you think that is? Why there is such a huge level of anti-Jewish, anti-Semitism on our university campuses, particularly in the area where you're ministering?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't think I was really surprised. Maybe a little bit to the level of to the extent how far it got and how out of hand it got to be as of today. I think anti-Semitism always existed around the United States and around those college campuses. It was just always silent. And after October 7, it's kind of like gained momentum to get out of the people's mouth and out of their mind because they couldn't speak it out. But now there's a legitimacy and there's an opportunity to do that. And I saw it a lot on college campuses, especially in New York, NYU, Columbia University. And it's all started for me when I was in Chicago. I was graduating from Moody, finishing my school, and I see Northwestern and schools like that around there having a lot of issues with anti-Semitism and the students and the chants and things that they're saying. And, you know, I thought, okay, maybe people are just really mad at the state of Israel and, you know, it's fine. But as time passed, today, even today, we see protests against Israel fighting in Iran. And Iran is not a country that nobody wants to support. It's a country that not letting women to live life. It's a country that with dictatorship and in very harsh conditions for a lot of people and just oppress anyone they can. And people are still standing against Israel just to support that. So that shows me that people don't really care about the state of Israel. They just care to hate the Jewish people in general. So I was not surprised too much. And to tell you that it's going to be better, I don't think so. I think anti-Semitism is just going to keep growing from all the sides in America, unfortunately. But that's something that we read in scriptures, and we know that God will start gathering his people back.
Amen. You know, we have a publication here at American Family Association called The Stand. And I just got my latest copy today, Sergey. And it features the new ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee. And he is the first evangelical ambassador that the United States has had to Israel. Have you heard from the Israeli people how they're responding to Mike Huckabee? Because he loves the Jewish people, he loves Israel, and has always taken a strong stand for Israel.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because I think the term evangelical came really new for Israelis after Mike. When he came here, Mike Huckabee, he talked about him being evangelical, and they all said, wait, without all the Christians are Catholic. And it was really interesting. So I think Israelis are warming up to evangelicals, which is an amazing thing for us because it's giving us an opportunity to share the gospel. Yeah. And to show them that, hey, there's people who love you in the United States and they're coming to serve here, even as Ambassador Mike Huckabee. So it's amazing for us. I think Israelis really appreciate him, appreciate his stance, appreciate his strong affirmation towards the relationship between the United States and Israel, and his affirmation to the gospel and to the Bible.
Amen. Sergey, thank you so much. Again, Sergey is with Chosen People. And if you want to know a ministry that's evangelical, biblically centered, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, check out Chosen People, chosenpeople.com. You can read about the history. You can look at where they're serving, what they're doing. What a great ministry. And we're so glad, Sergey, that you would take time to talk with us. I know it's late there. It's closing in on midnight for you. And but we appreciate you. And let me share this with you. You sent a video of some of the bombing that is taking place, that was taken, and we couldn't show it here live streaming, but we've got it on the Facebook page. Brent has done that. So all of you who are listening, you can go to Exploring the Word Facebook page, and that video is up that Brent has put up that Sergey sent to us. Sergey, tell Jesse hello, and we're going to be praying for you. We're going to take the last part of our program and pray and ask God to do some great things in your life and your chosen people in Israel. But thank you for being with us, brother.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brent. There is only one verse that I wanted to share.
Yes, thank you, man. Go ahead.
Because it's something that encouraged me the last couple of days. And it's Psalm 27, 20, verse 7. It says, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Amen. I think it's a good reminder for all the people here in Israel right now. That as much as we see the amazing power of the Israeli Air Force, we cannot forget that it's all because our God has allowed that to happen so far.
Amen. Amen. So, amen. Yeah. Thank you. Hey, I want to pray for you before we go collectively, okay? Father, I thank you for Sergey. Thank you for Jesse. I thank you for their heart for you and the heart for your all people. It's chosen people, yes, they center upon the Jewish population, but their desire is for all to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for that, Father. And I pray that you would just help Sergey and Jesse there protect them, minister as they minister to others and chosen people, protect that building there in Tel Aviv. And Father, we just trust you. We thank you for those 60 people that were there that were able to cross over and come in back home without harm. And we pray you'd strengthen them as they travel back. But again, thank you for Sergei and chosen people. We pray you'd bless them, use them for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Again, thank you, Sergei.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. Fred, listen, it's awesome sometimes to know people, isn't it? That are in certain places.
Mm-hmm.
And what an opportunity it was for Sergei to be there at this time, you know? And, you know, a witness, you see, you hear in his voice the strength and, you know, courage that's in his voice by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, no, in his heart, he knows that God chose to put him there at this very moment when this is going on. Because obviously people are apprehensive. They've been dealing with Hamas terrorists in Gaza. And now this, and as Sergei pointed out to us, they support the idea. They know Iran is the head of the stake. And the head of the stake must be dealt with.
Right.
Because we know Iran has stated publicly over the years they want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth and the United States as well. And so, you know, God doesn't make any mistakes. He chose this moment to have Sergei there when the people in that area that he has an opportunity to speak with to tell them, about Jesus.
Amen.
To tell them that, we serve a sovereign God. We serve a God who chose Abraham to lead and bring about a special people. And the Jewish people are those special people, the chosen people. And I just want to refer back to this article in The Stand.
Hold that up so the people that are on live streaming can see the front of it. And this was printed way before this past
yes.
4 days. What timing.
Again, God's timing, folks.
God's timing.
And it's with an interview with Mike Huckabee, our new ambassador to Israel. And the title is His Isaiah Moment. And he talks about the phone call that he got from President Trump. And it's kind of a funny story because President Trump did not ask him to be the ambassador. He said, you're going to be my ambassador. And Mike Huckabee basically says, Huckabee explained, it was for me an Isaiah moment. Here am I, Lord, send me.
Amen.
And that's the attitude we have to have. And I found it fascinating, Sergei, the read that he's getting on how the people of Israel are responding to having an evangelical Christian to be the ambassador from the United States. Opening up a whole dialogue, okay, tell us about evangelicalism. What is that all about? What do they believe? And what an opportunity.
Because it's all about Jesus.
It's all about Jesus.
That's it.
Yeah.
One more thing, we covered this a little bit Friday. I want to go a little bit further and remind people. In Iran, right now, in the last few years, nearly 10 years, the greatest place for evangelicals to go through, not in person, but online,
yes.
Because online, they're able to go behind the scenes online, and thousands of Iranians have come to be followers of Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
now, when I've talked to Todd Nettleton with, Martyrs, that Voice of the Martyrs, he says the main reason is they have experienced the failure of Islam,
yes.
and that type of government. They've experienced that. They know it.
Yeah.
And many of them could remember what they had. It was not right, but they had a lot more freedom and a lot better life under the old regime before the Muslims took over, okay?
Yes. Yeah.
And so we've got a lot of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ in Iran, and here's what Israel's not doing, and I want you to comment on it because you're in this area, and I know this is one of your areas that you're interested in biblically is prophecy, Fred. But, you know, here it is. These people that have been saved and followers of Christ, and here is Israel. They are purposefully targeting the nuclear power, the defense, the military, the intelligence. That's the last place they did the intelligence. And they took two or three of their leaders, that was the guys that were running the intelligence, where to strike and when to strike, and took them out. And so here they're doing that while Iran is purposely firing rockets to populated areas just to kill people.
Yeah.
Now, what a difference.
Incredible contrast. And we mentioned this on Friday. One of the first things that Prime Minister Netanyahu said after the initial bombing started, he said, we're reaching out to the Iranian people. They have a read, Prime Minister Netanyahu has a read, that these people want regime change. They want that Islamic government gone. And one of the big, I think, catalysts to all of this is you're addressing there. There have been, God's spirit has been moving amongst the Iranian people. We're seeing people there come to Christ. Thank God for the technology that we have today, because they can go online. Maybe we have some people listening in Iran right now, because American Family Radio can be heard all over the world. And if we are, I want to say to those people right now, we are praying for you. Because God is bringing about this conflict right now, which may lead to more freedom for you. And I would encourage people there to share the gospel, even in the midst of this conflict, share the gospel, because God can take, because we know God is in control at all times. God can take this current conflict to lead to conversations about what is important, about your eternal destiny. Not just for the moment, but what is your eternal destiny? And you can be sure that when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can know that He died on Calvary's cross for your sins.
Amen.
He can justify you, and you'll have a home in heaven for eternity.
Amen. Give us a call. You can pray. But the number is 888-589-8840.
The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Bert Harper here, and it's alongside Fred Jackson. 2 days in a row. Now, I know we had a weekend involved there, but you was with us Friday because this was the breaking news, and Alex was with us. But Alex is traveling to Iowa, and so we want to have this time. The number that you can call, you can ask Bible questions, and Fred and I'll do best to give an answer, but we also would love for those of you that would pray for Israel, and I'll give you some other things. It's kind of like a prayer list we're going to give today, and we're going to talk about that. If no one else prays, Fred and I are going to pray and ask God to help. But here's the prayer list. Pray for Sergey and Jesse as they're there ministering and helping, and they didn't go over there for this, but they are there for this. God's timing, we can trust it. We also want to pray for Chosen People Ministry. And again, it's a great ministry, but there's other ministries there that are evangelical, witnessing for Christ, and sharing Jesus Christ with them. We also want to pray for Israel themselves. Now, Sunday at church where I'm interim, man, I call the people, and they were in their pews, and I asked them to make the pew their altars, those that could physically get down on their knees, and they did so, and we prayed for Israel. Amen. We prayed for them. We prayed for victory. Everybody say, oh, we need a peace agreement. A lot of times, anytime there's that, a victory is the best way to have the peace, and that is it. So I'm praying, but I'm also praying for the Iranian Christians. We've talked about this, Fred, and I listen, on Exploring Missions, again, we've had Todd Nettleton on several times with, Voice of the Martyrs, and he has shared what's taking place there. The first National Religious Broadcasters meeting that I went to after we started the program Exploring Missions, one of the first people that I interviewed was Iranian Live. Mm. It was a live broadcast that was missional, that was making their headway into Iran. Mm. And that's the first time I heard about the revival. I'm calling it a revival. Mm-hmm. It's really evangelical movement of God, of the believers that's being saved. So we're praying for them. But also, we want to pray for Alex and the youth camps.
Amen.
Man, he's there in Iowa. He's already done one in Montana. After Iowa, he's got six more to go. And just we're praying for Alex and his safety. Like I told you, he had to drive all the way from Tupelo, Mississippi to Myrtle Beach because the plane flights were missed because of torrential rain and difficulties. Mm-hmm. And so he had quite a trip there. So if you can call us and pray, 888-589-8840. If you got a Bible question, we'd love to hear it, and we'd do our best to answer it. But Fred, would you mind praying? You can look at my list if you all need right. them all, okay. Or you can pray for your selected ones. But would you mind praying for them, brother?
Amen. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that you've given us today and the encouragement that you give us each day. And Lord, we're praying right now for Sergey and chosen people. Lord, you make no mistakes. You've had Sergey and his wife to be there in Israel right now to witness what is going on, but also, Lord, to use them. And we pray that you would use them as people are asking questions about what is going on. And Lord, we know that Sergey and Jesse and others there with chosen people, they have the answer that, Lord, you are in control. And what's going on right now between Israel and Iran, we certainly pray that Israel would be successful because we know what Iran has said. They want to destroy Israel. They want to destroy the United States. But also, Lord, we're also mindful that we've seen a revival amongst the Iranian people themselves. Lord, that you have opened doors, whether it's through media that gets through. And we've heard reports, Lord, of people in their dreams, the gospel message being presented to them. And Lord, sometimes we look at those kinds of things skeptical, but Lord, if people are coming to you by whatever method, Lord, we just praise you that you work your message, your gospel message through all of this. And we thank you for that. So Lord, just we pray right now for your protection. We know that Israel has a very superior military, but Lord, that you would be with those who are in charge of the interceptors that intercept those missiles coming in from Iran. Lord, that you would be with the pilots of Israel, that you would protect them as they go on these missions, Lord. And Lord, that we pray that you would bless the administration here in the United States and Lord, encourage and move on their hearts to continue to support Israel. We know it doesn't take long. The rest of the world seems to turn on Israel every time one of these outbreaks happens. But Lord, that this administration under President Trump would stand strong with Israel because we know what your word says, that you will bless those that bless Israel and you will curse those that curse her. And Lord, we're seeing this manifested right now. So Lord, just we put the Jewish people in your hand. We pray for their protection, but most of all, Lord, that they would come to know you. And we once again, we're so thankful that Sergey and his wife are there right now. Pray that you will use them in a mighty way. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Fred. Well, we have some calls that have come in, but we want you again to write those of you that are prayer warriors. Write Sergey and Jesse down, chosen people, nation of Israel, the Iranian Christians, and the youth camps, and pray for them. But let's go to the phone lines, and we're going to North Carolina. Erica, thank you for calling today.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
So I have a question. I saw one on social media that got me to thinking, is everything in the Bible has a significance? Is there a significance in the color of the horses in Revelation?
Let me answer that real quickly. The answer is yes. And now, Fred, how Alex and I do it, I give the short answer and he goes long. But yes, the answer is yes, Erica. The pale horse, all the different colors, drought, death, Off the top of my head, I cannot remember every one of them, but each one of them, blood, they have a significant issue that they're demonstrating that's taking place in judgment.
Yes.
And this is the judgment that's coming, Fred.
Yeah. And I would encourage you, caller, Erica, that if you're interested in Revelation and what it teaches, right now, David Jeremiah, Turning Point, that airs here in American Family Radio. If you're up early, I'm not sure what time zone you're in.
It would be 4:30 her time.
4:30?
But they got podcasts. You can go to his podcast and hear it.
He is doing a lengthy study right now in the book of Revelation. I think he's just finishing up chapter 12. He's into chapter 13. You can get the whole series. He said he preached Revelation over 42 Sunday nights. So talk about an extensive look at the book of Revelation. And I seem to remember him talking about the color of the horses and the significance of each one. So I would encourage you to go to Turning Point. You can get the whole series right there with Dr. David Jeremiah.
And Erica, thank you for listening. What part of North Carolina are you from? Are you close to where Alex lives?
I'm from the Fayetteville area. I actually work at Fort Bragg.
Okay, well, you're on the eastern side. Alex and I got to be close to Fort Bragg. We were in Fayetteville for a mass meeting. We had thousands of people there a few years ago. It was awesome to be a part of.
Actually, you're in North Carolina, so that program, Dave Jerem, would be 6:30 in the morning, East Coast time.
Okay. Yeah. You're right, 6:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be 4:30 in the...
So you can sleep in a little longer.
Way to go, man. Okay, Eric, I hope that helps. Thank you for calling. Okay, let's go to Ohio. Okay, I'm just going to take a stab at this. Beyonce?
Yeah, what's going on?
Okay, go right ahead. You're on the air.
First off, thank you, gentlemen. And secondly, I just have a quick question is, why is that if the angel sent Jesus as Emmanuel, why do we name him as Jesus? Why do we self-proclaim him as Jesus?
Okay.
Instead of his name and name.
Hey, we can call, he goes by both names, but Jesus is the name that God told them, you shall call his name Jesus, which means Emmanuel's connected with it, God with us. So the whole answer is Jesus. God saves. He's Savior. It comes from the Old Testament, Joshua. And yes, you can say it in different languages, but in our language, it is Jesus. And it's not for any other purpose but to praise God. But God, the angels told him, you shall call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sin.
That's good enough for me.
It's good enough for me too, brother. And but listen, Emmanuel, I love it, especially at Christmas time.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. God with us. Mm-hmm. And I heard a song coming in today. It was about the fourth man in the fire. It was about him being in the lion's den. And he's still ready.
Yes.
And it's not the issue that he's just with us, Fred, but he fights for us.
Amen.
You remember David and Goliath?
He said,
I come in the name of the Lord. And it was similar to what Sergey was talking about, not trusting in chariots and horses, but you better trust. Our trust is in the Lord himself.
Well, that stone in David's sling, I think it wasn't just David's power throwing that sling. That rock sunk into the head. You know that forehead is the thickest part.
Yeah.
There are stories of bullets ricocheting off a person's forehead.
Especially certain people I know. No, I'm joking.
Hard-headed. But that stone sunk into the front skull there of that giant. I think it was God's power in that sling at that moment.
I do too.
Yeah.
And when we respond to him, let's talk about this, Fred, because here you were in Canada, and you were making your way there, and you wind up, you're talking about, and I want to talk about this since I have the opportunity, mm-hmm. how you could wind up in Tupelo, Mississippi, of all the places from Canada. And, you know, we talk about for such a time as this, we're talking about Sergey mm-hmm. and chosen people being there mm-hmm. at such a time for this. And I know that's come from Esther.
Mm-hmm.
But what about your story? And we want to hear that. The reason I want you to tell it, because we've got people listening. They should be open. Okay, God, I know where I am, but if I'm ready anytime, anywhere that you send me.
Yeah, well, very quickly, I was working with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, which is Canada's NPR. Now, when I started with them, they were a good journalistic organization. But like a lot of mainstream media here in the States, and you know what I'm talking about, folks, they move far to the left. And I was in my early 40s, been with them, like I say, about 20 years. And I knew I didn't want to spend the rest of my life carrying out their mission. And so my wife and I met at Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. So I called our former pastor down in Springfield, Missouri, when we were going to Baptist Bible College. And I said, do you know of any Christian radio stations? Because I'd like to talk to them. And he said, well, there's a new station just came on the air here in Springfield, Missouri, American Family Radio. And he gave me the number of the station. We had a station manager there at that time. And so I called him. Very short conversation. Yeah, we're based down there in Tupelo, Mississippi, and I think they're starting up a new news service down there. And he gave me the number for Tupelo. And long story short, this all transpired over a very short period of time, one afternoon in October of 96. And so I called down and talked to the folks here. I said, can I come down and just have a little visit and have a look around? And they said, sure, come along. So I came, I flew down, got a very special rate that just happened to be in place that day when I called, air rate, came down, had a look around, had the tour, and I was ready to go home. And Brother Don Wildman stopped me in the hallway. He said, come and see me before you leave. All right.
Very sharp and to the point, right?
To the point. And so I went into his office. You want to come work here and head up our new service? And you know what? I had a piece. I didn't have to think about it. I said, yes, sir. I'd like to do that. Well, he said, I got to go get a green card. So it's going to take a little bit. He said, well, you let me know when you get your green card. Give us a call and we'll bring you down here. And that, Bert, was 27 years ago.
Okay. On the other end, meanwhile, back at the ranch, I was on the board. And I was there, not necessarily for you specific. That was Brother Don, but looking over all the picture, he was talking about how tired he was of people taking what he said and misrepresenting it. He said, also, I think it's time for us to get our own news source so that we can do it in a biblical way. Mm. And those of us, when we were on the board back then, you just held on with the ride with Brother Don. He had a vision of what he wanted to do, and it was clear, it was plain. He had presented it to us. And if there wasn't anything that we could see, well, we shouldn't do that. Now, we were saying, how in the world are you going to accomplish this? And he had already had the vision, and he would go step by step about it, what he was going to do.
Yeah.
And God raised him up for I think the theme of today is for such a time as this. And we haven't got a lot of time left, but I would say Israel.
Yes.
1948, their nation reformed.
That's right.
That people said, how in the world can all the things that they talk about in prophecy come to about when Israel's not even a nation? There it's where. But in 1948, it kind of changed everything, didn't it, Fred?
Absolutely. A lot of people, even in the Christian community, had dismissed the idea of Israel reforming again. But in 1948, at such a time, there was great sympathy for the Jewish people because of the Holocaust. People were learning about that. And God put the political leaders in various places, including the bad old United Nations, put it all together. And that nation was formed in May of 1948.
And Harry S. Truman's mother teaching him about God's special plan set him up to recognize it quickly.
For such a time as that.
For such a time as this. Listen, God's raised you up for such a time as this. He's let you hear this broadcast. I know it was different. Be praying. Here's our prayer list. Sergey and his wife, Jessie. Pray for the Chosen People Ministry and other ministries in Israel right now. Pray for Israel itself. Pray for the Iranian Christians that God would protect them, but they would rise up again. And pray for the youth camp that Alex is involved in. Thank you again for listening to Exploring Missions. Thank you, Fred, for being with us.
Great to be here.
And we'll be back tomorrow in Romans chapter 15.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.